begin.
May it please the court, Melissa Liff, attorney registration number 40445. I'm here on behalf of petitioners Gaylord Buck and Linda Shepherd. A decision of the Board of Assessment Appeals may be set aside if it reflects a failure to abide by the statutory scheme for calculating property tax assessments. We are here today because there was a failure to abide by the statutory scheme in CRS 39-1-103, subsection 14. That statutory provision requires an assessing officer take into account several factors when valuing vacant land under the market approach, which is what was done here. Those factors include the direct cost of development and the anticipated, the anticipated market absorption rate. The assessor charged with valuing the land belonging to Mr. Buck and Ms. Shepherd failed to consider these factors, consideration of which is mandatory under 39-1-103. Therefore, we respectfully submit today that the decision of the BIA must be reversed. First, the assessor failed to comply with her statutory obligation in this case when she did not consider the direct costs of engineering and installation of an advanced septic system. A division of the Court of Appeals defined direct costs as any costs required for the planning, engineering, and physical installation of tangible development improvements or amenities necessary to convert a raw land lot or tract into a building site. And that's from CP and Son Inc. at 953 P. 2nd, 1303. The assessor's reference library, which the Colorado Supreme Court acknowledged as a guiding authority, specifically classifies sanitary drainage and sewer facilities and engineering and surveying costs as direct costs. Respondents agree in their answer brief that the subject property would need an advanced septic system to support any single family development. This is complicated on the land at issue here because one of the five lots which makes up this parcel contains a moratorium, which is a prohibition area that prohibits the placement of any new wastewater treatment systems. That's lot 32 with the moratorium. So installation of a septic system here would require engineering costs to determine where the septic system could be installed. And the engineering costs involved in that, particularly in light of this moratorium, are a direct cost of development under the assessor's reference library definition and the Court of Appeals definition of direct costs.
Counsel, let me interrupt you there and ask a question, please. Is there any requirement as to how the assessor has to consider the direct development costs? In other words, is there some requirement statutorily or by rule or regulation that says the assessor has to determine what those direct costs are by determining what you're just talking about, the cost for the advanced septic system?
Sure, I think I understand your question.
Or can the assessor, I'll just finish it up,
sure.
Can the assessor take that into account when he or she is appraising the property and reaching the value of the property by comparison to other properties that do have those systems and those that don't?
Sure. I think I'd look at Sunbelt Services Corp. That's 802 P. 2nd 1199. The assessor and the BAA in that case failed to give the required consideration to factors in 39-1-103. And the Sunbelt Court stated, this statute does not allow either the assessing officer or the BAA to substitute some general concept of market area for the specific area included within the boundaries of the approved plat for the subdivision within which the vacant land is located. Although they're talking about a different statutory factor there, I think the guidance is provided that the assessor and the BAA cannot substitute some general concept for what's mandatory under the statute. So they can't consider some general concept of direct cost to comply with the statutory mandate. The assessor's consideration of other factors relevant to valuation is insufficient to demonstrate she considered the direct cost. Rather than consider the direct engineering and sanitary system costs, which the assessor admitted she did not account for, she talks about negative marketability issues. And we submit that's not sufficient to get a direct cost, that general concept again. She talks about a specific comp where there's an advanced septic system, but even for that property, she was asked, did you find the cost of the septic system for that property? And she says, "I didn't ask. No, I'm sorry, I did not." And she testifies repeatedly that there was no estimate of money for this. In the record, she talks about seeing a cost dated 6 years ago, but mentions that that's old information. I don't think that kind of general consideration is sufficient under statute where the word is shall consider direct costs. I think it's axiomatic in this state that when a statute says shall, that's a mandate. And I think that means direct costs. And I understand you're looking, does it mean dollar amount versus general? And that's where I'm getting the guidance from Sunbelt.
Because shall consider means shall consider.
I'll
think about it. I'll take it into consideration.
Right. And I think the testimony here was she didn't take it into consideration. She didn't have the numbers. She couldn't have possibly considered it.
But she looked at, didn't she look at some properties that did not have the advanced systems and as comparables?
Yes, and I think that goes back to the negative marketability issue. She's free to consider other factors under the statute, but I think she also has to consider the direct costs of development and engineering costs under that assessor's reference library, which the court uses in Craddock as a guiding authority on these types of issues. She has to look at the direct engineering costs and the advanced septic system costs, and she simply didn't have those costs.
So she has to go out and get an estimate, you're saying?
I think that would have been a safe way to proceed here, yes, to comply with the statutory mandate.
So hypothetical, suppose the property next door, which is very similar, just recently sold for $100,000, and it didn't have one of these systems. Isn't that a way of considering the direct costs to say, well, I know this property sold for $100,000 without such a system, therefore it's fair to assume that this property, making whatever adjustments need to be made for any differences, would also sell for $100,000?
I have to respectfully disagree with that. I think you have to actually consider the direct cost for developing an advanced septic system. And if a property doesn't have an advanced septic system, and the assessor doesn't have any costs available to her for those kinds of things, I don't think she's taken it into account.
So she can't take into account how the market values the property?
No, I think she has to follow the statute. She has to consider direct costs. There's a clear definition of direct costs provided in CP and sign. It's costs required for the planning, engineering, and physical installation of tangible development improvements or amenities necessary to convert a raw land lot or tract into a building site. I don't think that's enough in your hypothetical that you played out, respectfully.
Let me take that hypothetical another step. Let us say, again, hypothetically, I understand it's not this case, that we have the property that Judge Miller discussed, and then there was a property right next to it with an advanced septic system, and that sold for $10,000. Well, there's a market difference, and can she use that sort of information to say, well, that suggests to me what the direct costs are?
I'd say not unless she has the direct costs of development of that advanced septic system. And here in particular, we have a parcel with a moratorium on one of the five lots that makes up that parcel. In the hypothetical, I don't know whether a moratorium exists, but I think she still has to consider the specific direct costs. The statute says direct costs, and I think that's the beginning and end of the story here. It's undisputed that the subject vacant parcel here cannot be developed without the installation of the advanced septic system, which again could not be put on lot 32. She didn't have the direct development costs of an advanced septic system, and the related engineering too is an important piece of that. That's under the assessor's reference library definition. So I don't think her consideration of the negative marketability issues on comparable properties, although allowed, was sufficient to meet with the statutory mandate here. And I'll just briefly also point out that she failed to consider the market absorption rate, which must be considered even if it's not applied by the assessor.
Did you raise that, but did your client raise that below?
Sure. The issue on appeal is whether the BAA erred in determining the subject property was properly valued by the BOE based on an appraisal dated June 30th, 2012. I don't think it's necessary for a party to use the exact terminology to preserve an argument for appeal. Petitioner Buck, representing the petitioner's pro se at the BAA hearing, challenged the approach used by the assessor to appraise the vacant parcel. And I think that's sufficient. Respondent contested the issue by putting on testimony from the assessor that comparison properties she selected gave a strong indication of value. And there's also a letter from Linda Shepherd dated July 25th, 2013 to the Jefferson County Board of Equalization that states the assessor's valuation is not supported by the market approach. That's in the court file at page 10, paragraph 5. The BAA considered the issue, acknowledging statute requires use of the market approach to value residential property.
But market approach doesn't necessarily require market absorption rate. Depends on the nature of the property, doesn't it?
Well, when you apply the market approach to valuation, you have to at least consider the market absorption rate. You can decline to apply it, but you must at least consider it, and I think that's clear.
And in this case, your client has taken the position that there are no buildable lots in that property, correct?
Correct.
And counsel, I think the other side has taken the position that there's only one building could be done on the property. So there's not really a group of lots that could be sold off over time, given those either scenario, correct?
Correct.
And so then there's no basis, is there, for trying to calculate a market absorption rate?
I understand what you're saying, but again, I have to point out that I think Craddock and Resolution Trust make it clear that even if it doesn't apply, the assessor has to at least consider whether it applies.
But wouldn't it be harmless error in this situation?
I don't think it's harmless error. I think it's axiomatic in the state that shall is mandatory. The statute says shall consider. That means they have to consider it. They can disregard it after they've considered it, they being the assessor, the BIA. But I think they have to at least make that consideration. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my time, if I may.
I just want to ask you a real quick question.
Sure.
I understand that we're not a magic words legal system, and you don't have to use magic words to invoke things. But at least someone has to be clear enough to lead the decision maker through a specific issue. And here, my concern is that market absorption rate is simply a subset of a variety of things in the market rate analysis. And it doesn't appear to me that your client below got the decision maker anywhere close to market absorption rate.
I think they did. I think the BAA considered the statute. The statute lays out a handful of factors. I think it's very clear. I don't think they had to use the magic words, like you said. I think they absolutely pointed to the assessor's approach being wrong. They pointed out there was a 185% increase in the valuation, and they absolutely pointed out issues with her approach there. I would reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mott?
Yes. May it please the court. Assistant Jefferson County Attorney Wright Amon on behalf of the Jefferson County Board of Equalization. The petitioner raised three issues in their appeal: the application of the market absorption rate, consideration of direct costs of development, namely in this case the installation of an advanced septic system, and finally the failure of petitioner to receive timely notice of their hearing before the BOE. It's my belief that only one of those issues is properly before the court today, and that's the issue of the direct costs. Specifically, the market absorption rate was not raised at the trial court level or at the BAA, and so it wasn't preserved and is being raised for the first time, so I believe it's been waived. With respect to the issue on notice, which petitioner's counsel didn't raise in her argument, that issue I don't think is before the court properly as well, because this court's review is limited to review of the de novo hearing before the BAA and not what occurred at the assessor level. So specifically with that in mind, I want to focus on, to start off with, the direct costs of development, because I really think that's what this case comes down to. The underlying purpose of property tax appeals is to determine what a willing buyer and a willing seller in the market would pay for a particular piece of property. In this case, the county valued the property using the market approach, looking at sales of comparable properties, and made adjustments to those sales to make them similar to the subject property. Those were the only comparable sales offered in this case, and those were the sales offered by county's expert witness, Ms. Crowley. The board found the county sales, the Board of Assessment Appeals found the county sales to be comparable and to support the county's valuation. Petitioner's argument is that the county failed to consider the direct costs of development, and I think that's not supported when you look at the record. Specifically, the trial transcript tells a different story. Ms. Crowley, on pages 59 and 60 of the trial transcript, talked about how she used a sale. One of her comparable sales was from the Indian Hills area and was a sale of vacant land that required an advanced septic system. And additionally, she talked about other sales and developments in the Indiana Hills area, and that it was her opinion that based on the sales she looked at, that there was, excuse me, that those sales prices didn't reflect any depreciated value because you had to have an advanced septic system as part of the development. And I think her argument was, and I think it's a valid one, that to the extent the advanced septic system would have impacted development, those would have been seen in the actual cost of the sale price of the land.
So pardon me for interrupting, Mr. Monk, but to take you back to my hypothetical, that was based on Judge Miller's hypothetical.
Right.
If we had a case in which adjoining lots are valued, and the one with the advanced septic system has $110,000 value, and the one without has $100,000 value, is that sufficient evidence to establish direct cost?
I believe it is, and I don't even know if you need to go that far. I think that if you look at other sales, which Ms. Crowley did, in the Indian Hills area of vacant land that require the installation of advanced septic system, that those costs would be reflected in the market price. And so she looked for comparable sales that were subject to the same requirements. And that's what she used to consider the direct costs of development. And I think that was sufficient. And the board found it to be sufficient. In fact, they said that, that this property was not dissimilar to other properties, in which I think actually the words of the board were not unlike other parcels in Indian Hills. And so the board found her evidence to be persuasive.
Excuse me, counsel. Yeah. Let me follow up on that a little bit. You're saying that the assessor used comparable sales that did not have the advanced septic system.
Hadn't been built on the property yet, but were required to
put them
in order to do the development.
Okay. Did she look at any comparable sales that had the advanced septic system installed already?
She did not find any sales in the area, because in most cases those would be developed properties at that point. I mean, if you're putting in the septic system.
So there wouldn't have been just a property
that has
basic land with the septic system in, but with nothing else built up.
Correct.
Yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be very difficult to find.
That gives me some pause. Then we don't know from any comparable sales what properties would have sold for, or this property would be worth if it had the system already installed. So we don't know exactly, is that difference going to be representative of the direct development cost?
Well, I see, I don't believe you need it. I think what you're looking for is sales of other vacant land that in order to be developed would have to place an advanced septic system on it, like the ones she used, because those sale prices would reflect those costs of development. If it was too prohibitive, the land wouldn't sell for development purposes. And she testified that in fact these properties had been developed. And I think, again, a knowledgeable buyer in the market who is looking at these types of properties is going to factor those costs in a sales price.
I understand that a knowledgeable buyer may be factoring other costs into that offered price,
right,
also. And I guess my question is, how do we know that comparable price reflects only the absence of this septic system?
Well, I think that it would reflect a lot of requirements that are all similar for Indian Hills. that Indian Hills has specific requirements on size, on setbacks, on type of septic systems, and those requirements would be same, would be the same in these comparable sales that she chose and with the subject property. And all of those, in essence, impact the cost of development and lead to the direct costs of development. Additionally, I would argue that, you know, the burden is on the taxpayer to show that the the evaluation is incorrect. And really, I think it's incumbent upon the taxpayer to come forward with specific evidence of the cost of engineering and putting the septic system on their property. I think it's unrealistic to expect that the county is going to go out and get bids on all these different properties to do that sort of development work. And so the Board of Assessment Appeals specifically found that in their order. They said that there was no cost cure, is the term they use, but no cost information was provided by the taxpayer. And so they hadn't met their burden on that issue.
Pardon me for interrupting, Mr. Mott, but I'm having a little bit of concern about your statement that, well, it would be difficult for the county to go out and find out what this costs. Now, understanding that perhaps every, you know, for each property, that would be pretty hard. But is it that hard to pick up the phone and say, well, give me a notion, company that puts in advanced septic systems, what are your material costs? What are your labor costs? How long does this normally take? You know, and what would you say would be a reasonable amount of money? And bang, there you got it. I mean, that's easier, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think a couple issues with that. I think in a lot of cases, I'm not sure a company would be able to do that, because I think, you know, it depends obviously on the topography and the nature of the lot. And I think they'd have to go out and see the lot in order to make those sort of determinations. And I think actually that's what counsel for the petitioner is saying they would have to do, is get a site-specific bid to satisfy their requirements. But I mean, in an ideal world, I think that it would be good if they had time to do that. But I do think how she considered it, in this case, the county's expert, of looking for sales of land, vacant land, that were subject to the same requirements, I think satisfy the statutory burden to consider the direct costs of development.
In looking at those comparable sales, however, would the assessor's appraiser take into account the dissimilar topography of those comparable sales? I mean, it seems to me, if we're going to say this $10,000 difference in Judge Bernard's hypothetical, it represents the direct development costs, then those properties are going to have to be exactly the same. You're going to have the same topography, you're going to have the same distance off the road, you're going to have the properties being exactly the same to be able to say the $10,000 difference.
Right, I think that
represents the system.
I think that's a good point. And if you look at the report, which is in the record of the county's appraiser, specifically on two of the sales, she found that topography or access were different and made adjustments to those to account for the differences of one was a really steep property, so the topography was worse, so she made a downward adjustment to that sale and made a similar adjustment for difficult access on one of the other comparables. And you know, the board specifically found that her adjustments were proper. And again, you know, it's really the role of the BAA to make those determinations.
I understand what you're saying. I don't want to be argumentative. It just seems to me that those differences, and taking into account those adjustments for those differences, reflects the market value of the property, but it may not necessarily reflect the direct costs necessary to install one of these systems.
Well, I think what it does is it makes those properties it takes away those other factors that would negatively influence those other properties. And so then it makes those properties similar to the subject, and they would then both have to install the advanced septic. And really, the board put the most weight on comparable sale number one, which the county's experts said was most similar and required virtually no adjustments because it was a very similar property located in the same neighborhood and subject to the same requirements. And that was the sale for $100,000 that, you know, more than supported the valuation that the county placed on the property in this case. Briefly, with respect to the issue of market absorption rate, I think that the court addressed that issue very well in its questions, but I don't believe that issue was ever raised. And while I agree in Ingrid Marriage Right case cited by petitioner that you don't have to use the specific words, you do have to talk about the concept itself. And there was no discussion in the record down below of market absorption rate. And even if there had been, market absorption rate doesn't apply because this is a single developable lot. As the county's expert testified, you need at least 1 acre in Indian Hills to do this. Combined, this is 1.5 acres, and with the setbacks and the moratorium lot, you'd have to combine all 5 lots to make a single developable lot. And so, really, there's no application of market absorption rate in this case. And it, as I said, it wasn't raised down below.
The law does say that they shall, the board shall consider all the factors. So is it necessary for the taxpayer at the end of the hearing to say, oh, guess what, they didn't present evidence on factors 1, 3, and 4, so please give them another chance to do that? Isn't this kind of an insufficiency of the evidence kind of a situation?
Could it be analogized to that? I
think it's incumbent upon the taxpayer to raise those issues that they think are relevant and of those factors that they think should apply. Here the taxpayer discussed a number of those issues, including access and setbacks and whether the property was developable at all. Those haven't been raised on the appeal, but there was no discussion, though, however, of the market absorption rate. And I think the reason the BAA doesn't mention it in its order and the reason it wasn't specifically discussed is, again, this is a single lot and there's really just no application of that market absorption rate. And specifically, the Craddock decision said that, you don't have to use it if it doesn't apply. And frankly, it's inapplicable here. And I think there's no reason to discuss it.
Thank you.
So I think at the end of the day, it's the county's opinion that Ms. Crowley did give consideration to the direct cost of development and specifically testified to it during the hearing and looked for comparable sales that were subject to the same requirements that would give a good market indication of how those factors would impact the value of the subject property. And so I would respectfully request that you affirm the decision of the Board of Assessment Appeals.
Thank you very much. Ms. Lipp?
In order to preserve an argument that the assessor failed to apply one of the factors in Section 39-1-103, a taxpayer had to prove that factor, the burden would essentially be on the taxpayer to prove an alternative valuation. Instead, the statute requires that if an approach to value is applicable, it must be given appropriate consideration, and the assessor must consider and document all elements of applicable approaches. And that's from Transamerican Realty Corp at 817 P. Second 1049. An assessor's failure to present any evidence of the facts on which the conclusion was based does not constitute compliance with the statutory mandate here. And I just want to point out there's been discussion of comps in this case, particularly comp one. The assessor was asked about
before that. Before we go on to that, can I ask that? I don't know that anyone's saying you need to prove the factor, but don't you at least need to say, members of the board, There's been no evidence whatsoever here of the market absorption rate, but that's one of the bases on which you have to make a consideration.
Again, I don't think that exact terminology is required. I think it's sufficient to challenge the assessor's valuation. The burden is on the taxpayer to show by a preponderance of the evidence that the valuation is not correct. And I think that is sufficient, and that was done here. And I'll just leave it with the focus on the comps. The assessor was asked at the hearing, quote, did you find out the cost of the septic system for that property? And she stated, quote, I didn't ask, no, I'm sorry, I did not. And then she was asked, do you have no idea as to what the engineering cost and what the actual cost of the physical system itself was? None of that came up in any of your research on that. And she said, quote, no, I did not ask. The assessor didn't have the direct cost here. There's no dispute. That issue was preserved. I'd also submit that the market absorption rate issue was approved when the petitioners challenged the evaluation presented by the assessor at the BAA hearing, and we'd ask that you reverse that decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel for your excellent arguments. The case has been submitted, and a decision will be forthcoming in due course. This concludes our